This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد. Respected brothers, dear listeners, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Once again I join you today with my daily discussion, discourse, talk and dars on the topic of family disputes, the causes of family disputes and the solutions. As it was introduced that today insha'Allah, bi'ithnillah, with the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shall be discussing cause number 9. I actually want to mention 10 causes, so you can imagine that we are now coming to the end of this series of talks. After today, I will be with you for another 2 more days, Wednesday and Thursday, before we conclude, insha'Allah. So today we have cause number 9, and then we have one more cause, which will be discussed over the next 2 days. Yesterday, dear listeners, I discussed with you cause number 8. And that cause was regarding Su'ud-dhan. And I mentioned to you that cause number 8 and 9 both are based on a particular verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat, as I mentioned yesterday, is an extremely important surah of the Quran. The verses in there are extremely relevant to our day-to-day in social interaction. The verses in Surah Al-Hujurat, they are extremely important for the social interaction between family members and human beings. Now, the verse that I recited yesterday, one verse was already discussed, which was cause number 7 of family disputes, misunderstandings, which was based on يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ, etc. But cause number 8, which I discussed yesterday, was based on this particular verse. Amazing verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ, avoid much suspicion. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ, because some suspicion is sinful. And then Allah said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, do not spy, do not become an investigator. And then He said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, one of you should not backbite another. Now this particular verse of the Quran, dear listeners, of Surah Al-Hujurat, it's a unique verse. And there's actually an amazing tartib, what we call an order, between the various three injunctions. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator, has forbidden three activities, three things Allah has forbidden in this particular verse. The first one was discussed yesterday, su'ud dhan bin nas, having bad opinion about other people. And as you know, yesterday in extreme detail I discussed, you know, having negative thoughts and ill opinions and bad opinions about others and baseless assumptions, allowing conjecture to come into the heart without facts. So basically, you know, having bad opinions about people, that's called su'ud dhan. And we discussed that as cause number 8 for family disputes in extreme detail yesterday. But that's the first injunction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse of surah, this verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. O you who believe, avoid much suspicion. Because suspicion means suspecting. The solution which I discussed yesterday was, what was it? Giving people benefit of the doubt. Right? Giving people benefit of the doubt. So if someone, you know, you suspect them to be doing something, you always try to explain it away. If someone is doing something, you explain it away. You interpret it in a nice way. You give them the benefit of the doubt, right? So that is an extremely helpful solution to family disputes. If we do that, many of our problems will be solved and would disappear. So the first injunction is to have good opinion. Having bad opinion is a major sin. Suspecting people of always doing something, suspicion is a major cause for family disputes. Solution, give people benefit of the doubt. And that was discussed yesterday in detail. And I mentioned the solution, the ways of, you know, removing these kind of thoughts and suspicion and suspecting things from the mind. But that was the first hukam, first command, the first injunction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, has mentioned in this particular verse, right? That's the first one. O you who believe, I'm trying to mention this amazing, you know, systematic order that Allah has mentioned. It's just so unique, seriously, it's just so unique. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. O you who believe, avoid much suspicion, suspecting. Now, this order is actually, you know, has been mentioned, this unique, you know, connection between these three prohibitions. Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, the great commentator of the Qur'an, has mentioned this in his commentary, in his tafsir. Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, was an amazing scholar, a famous imam from Qurtuba. Qurtuba is modern day, current day, Cordoba in Spain, which was Islamic Spain. And Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, was from this place called Qurtuba. And he's an amazing character and one of the great scholars of our ummah. Specifically, he was a great Maliki scholar. Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah. He's a great Maliki in fiqh, and he has this renowned commentary on the Qur'an called Al-Jami' li-Ahkam al-Qur'an. So in it, when commentating on this verse, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned a very unique way of mentioning these three commands. There's a very unique and amazing, intriguing point here. And the tartib, the order, is so interesting, because he says that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, He forbade us from suspecting, right? Baseless assumptions, negative thoughts, bad opinion. Allah said, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِ. Avoid bad opinion about people without any facts and figures. Don't make baseless assumptions and negative thoughts and baseless presumptions. That's the first command. Now, somebody might think in their mind that, okay, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden me to have negative thoughts and bad opinions about other people without any facts and figures. And Allah has prohibited me baseless assumptions. So allow me to go and investigate. That thought might come into the mind. Now look, suspicion. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Avoid suspicion. Suspicion is sinful. So I'm not going to just suspect. I'm going to avoid. Allah has forbidden suspicion. So forgets, you know, baseless assumptions, I will find out, I will research, I will investigate. If that thought comes into the mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away, and this is the unique part, straight away, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثم. And then he said, if that thought comes into your mind, then Allah specially, straight away he said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not investigate, do not research, do not go and try to find out people's ill habits. And that's our cause number 9 today. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not investigate. تَجَسُّس. In Arabic, تَجَسُّس. That's why from where we have the word جَسُّس. It's an Arabic term, جَسُّس. جَسُّس is a informant, a detective. Allah is saying, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not go and investigate. It's not my job or your job, brothers and sisters. And actually, this is one of the major reasons of many of our problems, again, in the society. Because we want to go and look and search for other people's ills. It's not my job to find out who's doing what in the privacy of their homes. It's not your job. We do not work for the FBI. Seriously, we don't work for the FBI. We're not. We don't work for the MI5. It's not our duty, it's not our responsibility. We all have bad and good things within ourselves. And that's why the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama said, that whoever conceals the ills of other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his and or her ills and sins on the day of Qiyamah. And whoever goes and searches for the ills of people, Allah will show his ills in the presence of everybody on Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's not my job or your job. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not be a spy. Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. First of all, do not suspect baseless assumptions. But if somebody thinks in their mind that, look, you know what, I'm not going to have baseless assumptions, I'll be a spy, I'll go and investigate, I'll research. Allah straight away said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. He's banned us, He's prohibited us, He's made it haram for us to go and become a spy, to be a detective, to go and research, to go and investigate, to go and find out the ills and the sins of other people. Amazing tartib. And then just to complete this tartib and this order, Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says that somebody might think that, you know what, I'm not going to investigate, the person does haram things right in front of me. I know the bad habits of this person. He does it in front of me. So I'm not suspecting. It's not baseless assumption. Neither do I need to go and investigate. It's just, it's happening right in front of me. So Allah said straight away, even if you know and you are sure, even if you know without even investigating, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not go and talk about it to others. Do not backbite. Amazing tartib, amazing order, subhanallah. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, our 9th cause today for family disputes is what? Tajassus. Investigating people's faults. Researching and trying to find out the faults of other people. Within the family as well. It's not our duty to find all this out. If you remember last year before Iftar, those who were listening to Radio Ramadan last year, I taught a book called Min Adab al-Islam, Min Adab al-Islam, which is a book authored and written by Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, which I taught throughout the month of Ramadan. And they were actually recorded, they're all available on the internet, 22 lessons, the whole book that I taught last year in the month of Ramadan, similar time, they're all recorded, alhamdulillah, and they're all available on my website, which inshallah, you know probably, or I will give probably towards the end of this show or the last show. All of the 22 lessons are available there. If you remember, we had etiquettes of, you know, visiting and etiquettes of being a guest. There were some extremely important issues mentioned in there about being a jasus, that even within the family, extremely important things like we should not open other people's letters. If someone's letter comes, your sons, your daughters, your sisters, your brothers, your siblings, husband, wife, you know, you have to be very careful. Privacy, respect people's privacy. And that's why I discussed last year, I said, look, Islam generally dislikes us being nosy. But unfortunately, some of us especially within some of the Asian communities, we love being nosy. We are, who's bought what car, and when did you buy this car, and who's driving past, and you drive past, and people get stare at you, okay, they're having this, these visits are coming, and this is happening. We need to try to sometimes be, you know, we need to try to, if we want to genuinely help people, then we should help them. But sometimes we really need to be, try to mind our own businesses, to put it politely. Islam generally doesn't like all of this, to be nosy, to be an investigator, to put our noses in the affairs of other people. And that's why all these are major sins, haram. Tajassus, the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam mentioned, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. He mentioned two things. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا with a jim, and وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا with a ha, without the dot. Some of the ulama said they're both the same thing. You can actually say tajassasu and tahassasu. And the verse in the Quran which says wala tajassasu, another qira'ah, another way of reading that is tahassasu. In the hadith, two separate things have been mentioned. Some scholars, they actually distinguished and differentiated between the two. And they explained that, look, the difference between is that tajassus is that a human being wants to always want to find out the ills and the sins and the defects of other people. Right? And tahassus is, you know, to be trying to, tahassus means trying to find out the secrets of people secretly. To find out, you know, people's secrets in a secret way. So tajassus is in a general sense, Allah has made it haram for us to investigate and become a detective and trying to find out the ills and the sins and the bad habits of other people. And the tahassus, which is also haram, is to secretly, you know, follow people, secretly listen to people's conversation, trying to find out the secrets of people, which is haram. Which is haram. And it creates a lot of problems. A lot of problems in the community, seriously. It causes a lot of problems within the family as well. It's absolutely haram to open someone else's letter, pick up in the house, if you're brothers and sisters, to pick up other people's phones. And see who they're texting and who's texting and things like that. Okay, last year I did mention as well, in the dars, when I was talking about certain rules about parents and children. Again, you have to be very careful, but there are certain relaxations for parents when they are doing tarbiyah of their young children. If they are old, grown-up children, then you can't. There's privacy. Remember last year, Min Adab al-Islam, and those of you, if you've not heard, I really strongly encourage you, go onto my website in the audio section. There's 22 lessons free of charge. There's no charge whatsoever. Listen to all of them, inshallah. Min Adab al-Islam that I taught. And they were all recorded. And then thereafter, alhamdulillah, a lot of other people started teaching who studied by me, started teaching these kind of courses. So listen to them. I don't want to repeat, that's why. That there are certain relaxations in terms of parents with their young children. But brothers and sisters, if you have a sibling at home, and you have a sister, you're 21, and you have another sister who's 23, or even she's 19, you don't go and open a handbag without her permission. It will cause problems. You don't open her, you know, purse, or you don't pick up her mobile phone and start checking who she was texting and this and that. You don't do all of those kind of things. You don't go and check her personal belongings. You don't listen to people's conversation. It's haram. If someone's talking from upstairs and you pick up the phone from downstairs and, you know, try to listen to overhear people's conversation. I discussed all of this last year. I don't want to repeat it, brothers and sisters, but all of this was discussed in detail. Overhearing people's conversations. Trying to, you know, pretend you're not listening when two people are sitting there and you try. And there are verses in the Quran about this. Then when two people are sitting, don't go and put yourself in the middle. In the hadith as well, there are clear guidelines regarding this by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from tajassus. Tajassus and tahassus. Which is trying to find out the ills and the evils of other people. Right? So the evils of other people. Trying to investigate. Trying to research. And it can cause a lot of problems. It'll cause family problems. Because sometimes, you know, you find out something about them which you did not like, and then that's it. Problems after problems after problems. So just avoid it. Something not known is better for us. Many times, brothers and sisters, things, if we don't know about them, it's better for us. Really, if we don't know about them, it's better for us. So just, you know, try not to find out, because sometimes when we, you know, many things are, they're better that they're not known by us. We should not know them. And if we don't know them, it won't hurt us. But the moment we start going to investigate and try to get to the bottom and trying to find out and who did what and when was she doing this and when was he doing that, it'll just upset us more and more. It will never solve any problem. It'll just carry on and on, and it's just going to cause distress and fights and quarrels and arguments. So we should just get active with our own duties and responsibilities, what we have to do. Do not try to investigate within the family especially. Do not look for the ills of other people. The remedy, like yesterday, the remedy is nothing but that we look at our own ills and our own faults. Our own faults, we look at our own faults. That's the remedy. Now, I am sinful, you know, I'm not an angel. I do a lot of bad things myself. So why do I need to go and search for the other people's, you know, bad habits? This is the reason why we find a lot of disputes in our communities. You know, these are all basic, subhanAllah, rules and etiquettes of Islam. And the reason why we have all these problems in the community and all these, you know, argumentations is because we, as Muslims, do not act upon these commandments and these laws set down in the Quran and Sunnah. And these commandments given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anywhere in the world, brothers and sisters, I tell you one thing. Anywhere where you find that there is a argumentation, a problem, or a dispute, or a conflict, within the family or anywhere, wherever you find that there is a problem, then rest assured, be assured, that it was due to not acting upon a particular injunction or teaching or guideline of the Quran and Sunnah. Seriously, that is the bottom line. That argumentation, that problem, that fight, that quarrel occurred because of leaving or because of not acting upon a particular guideline given to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. These are all things that contribute, these are all, you know, acts which Allah has forbidden and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have forbidden. Why have they forbidden them? Because they all contribute and result in argumentation. Like, for example, there's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يتناجى اثنان دون ثالث. Two people should not whisper to one another, should not talk secretly when a third person is amongst them. It's a major haram. But we overlook this. Right? It's a major haram. Why? Because a third person will feel extremely isolated. He'll think, wow, are they talking about me? Are they whispering something about me? Again, in the family, again, this all. Don't do like whisperings on the phone. Two people talking with them, family, extended family. You know, the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law, the sister-in-law is talking with someone else, and the daughter-in-law will think, oh, she's probably doing ghiba about me, and something's being said about me, and then she'll go and investigate. This is a basic ruling. La tanaja, do not do that. Do not do that. It's haram. And when it's haram, the reason is that because if we do it, it's going to create problems and friction within the family. Likewise, another command given to the other person is, look, you know when two people are sitting and talking secretly, don't go there. Don't go and plant yourself in the middle of two people. It's two people talking. Don't go and become nosy. This is a form of tajassus as well. Two people are talking secretly. You know, like I mentioned last year, that sometimes what happens is two people are, there's people talking and you know they're talking secretly. Ask permission. Can I join you? Can I join your conversation? Really, we need to ask, can I join your conversation? Sometimes we're eating, there's like a lot of people eating there, two people are talking, and we're just pretending, you know. We're not listening to them, but our ears are totally glued towards what they're saying. This is all tajassus. This is all trying to overhear people. The example I already gave, somebody talking from upstairs on the phone in your house, and you pick up the phone from downstairs and trying to overhear them. Major haram, sinful, totally sinful, totally sinful. You know, slowly, slowly tiptoeing and trying to find out your sister or your brother or someone, your wife or your husband's talking to someone. Slowly, slowly, let me see, who is he talking to? You know, let me see, you know, what is he up to? Right? So these kind of investigations and suspicions we need to really avoid. As I said, these are general rulings. There are, yes, in specific scenarios, there are exceptions. Like a parent has suspicion that the adult child is involved in an unlawful relationship, then yeah, there are exceptions in terms of tarbiyah. So ask a scholar, right, that look, this is something, can I do, can I not do? Generally, for parents, in regards to parents and their young children, and even if they're, you know, if they are absolutely grown-up children who've married and have kids and things like that, then parents, the responsibility, actually after marriage, somewhat, a lot of the responsibility of the parents is now taken away from them. Yes, they have a general role of supervision, but you know, the tarbiyah, things like that, they're married off now. They have their own family. So that, a lot of the responsibility is taken away. Before marriage, yes, they're in your custody. Your children are in your guardianship. But you have to be very careful. Don't tiptoe and don't. These are kind of things you shouldn't do. Parents need to be very careful when they do tarbiyah. And that's not my topic as well, actually. You know, parents, tarbiyah, because that's another topic. It's completely another area altogether. I gave a talk on this a few weeks ago when I was in Canada. An hour and a half talk about parents and children, their relationship. It's a different topic, but there's a really good book for parents to read. Ideal Mother and Ideal Father. The father should read Ideal Father, the mother should read Ideal Mother. It's an amazing book which was translated from Urdu into English. There are guidelines. You know, parents, you should don't tiptoe and don't, you know, always snoop around your children, because it'll frighten them. It'll frighten them. And they'll always be trying, you know, trying to hide some things from you. The more you snoop around, the more you go secretly, the more they will hide. They'll think, okay, my parents, this as well and that as well. So just be open about things. Don't do these kind of things. So they can be open to you as well, inshallah. But there are guidelines and there are exceptions between parents and children. But generally in the family, snooping around, investigating, detecting, researching, and trying to find out, go into the depth of who did what. Sometimes you might know something in a general sense. Fine, that's it. Your child, in a general sense, you know, that is involved in some kind of relationship, unlawful relationship, illicit relationship. Give them good advice. Give them good nasiha and talk to them and deal with the issue, tackle with the issue. There are ways. But don't start then going into the nitty-gritties and the details that you want to know every single minute detail of what they were doing. Because they're not going to tell. I mean, come on, who wants, you know, if they did some sinful activity, you as a parent, you must have done some sinful activity. Do you want someone to know every single detail that you do in your life? No, none of us do. None of us want others to know of every single minute detail of day and night of what we do in our lives. Nobody does. Okay? And we don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expose these bad things of ours on the day of Qiyamah. We don't want to. And the one who repents, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person who repents from his sins is as though he has never committed a sin. And to the point that even the angels, the kiram and katibin, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ You know that the angels that are recording everything, even they are made to forget. So that nobody knows, only Allah knows. And Allah will conceal, inshaAllah. As long as we have this capacity within ourselves to hide, to conceal, to cover the faults of other people in this world, we really need to do that. We need to avoid spreading rumors about people. We need to avoid, even if somebody is guilty of something, it's not our responsibility. Sometimes, you know, we think we're very practicing. It's a very, very unfortunate fact. It's a sad fact of life. This happens within so-called practicing people. Sometimes someone becomes practicing, that's it, you know, that they've conquered the world and I'm just practicing. Everybody, especially newly practicing people, everyone on the face of the earth are really bad, that's it, you know. You get that extra josh and zeal and you become so zealous about things, not jealous, zealous from zeal. And you become overhyped and that's it, this is haram brother, this is haram sister. And you know, this one, and nobody who wears the niqab and hijab, they're all sinful and you're going to hell and this is that. Relax, you know, take it easy. This is not the way. Amar bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Allah says in the Quran, ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana. Invite towards your Lord with good preaching, with good wisdom, with hikmah, with nice preaching. That's the way to preach. When you see someone doing something wrong, sinful activity, the way to tackle that is not, oh, astaghfirullah, you're doing haram. No. You have a concern for them. It's like, you know, somebody's got a cancer. Are you going to shout at someone who's got a cancer? This person's ill. This person's sick. They need to be treated. Someone is, for example, an alcohol addict. He's diseased. If you have someone in the family or relatives, friends, they're diseased. They have an illness. Imagine you have a friend or a brother or a sister, someone who's got cancer or has some major illness, are you going to get shout at them? Will you tell them, you know, why do you have cancer and why are you ill and why? No, you feel like concern. You have the sympathy in your heart for them. You know, you feel bad for them and you have a genuine concern and you really want them to become healthy. You feel sorry for them. You feel saddened at the situation. And that's exactly how we should feel when someone has a spiritual illness. Because sins are spiritual illnesses. Any kind of sin, first of all, pray to Allah. Make dua for them. And then have this concern in your heart for them. Make dua to Allah first and foremost. And then have this concern in the heart. Don't shout at them. That's not the way. Be sorry for them and be saddened for them. You know, just as somebody has a physical illness, what do? We feel sorry for them and we say, I hope this person gets cured. Likewise, we need to be, you know, concerned about the situation. And then we go in a nice, gentle way. Make nasiha, give advice in an extremely gentle way, in a nice way. It'll sit in the heart. Seriously, it will sit in the heart. For us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Who is the best example for us, dear brothers and sisters, listeners? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says this in the Quran. Look at his practice and his habit and his behavior. Numerous examples. One example, a famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam was sat in the masjid. A villager, a Bedouin came into the masjid. In the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Started urinating in the corner of the masjid. The Sahaba looked at him. What is he doing? The companions, radiallahu anhum. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, da'uhu, leave him. It's okay, leave him. Let him finish now. He started urinating in the masjid. Imagine a person coming into one of our masjids, Salatu Taraweeh time, in the corner of the masjid, start urinating. Probably in the next minute, he'll probably have to end up in the hospital or something. People might just, you know, I don't know what they'll do to him. Illa masha'Allah. He'll probably come out with fractured bones and bruised eyes and Allah knows what. Really. But look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, da'uhu, leave him, leave him. And then he said, leave him, let him finish. And he said to the Sahaba, once he finishes, just clean the area with water. Pour some water and clean the area. It can be cleansed. And then afterwards he went up to him and he said to him in such a nice, gentle way, brother, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدْ لَتَصْلُحُ لِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ هَذَا وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. These places, houses of worshipping Allah, they are not appropriate for things like urinating. These places, houses of Allah, are designated for what? لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, for the dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the tilawat of Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, wassalah, and prayer. It's not appropriate to do things like this. This is just one example Many examples, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the way he dealt with such issues. And that's why one of the Bedouins after that he said, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I have never seen a better teacher than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. He's our role model. He's our role model. So sometimes when we become extremely practicing, brothers, what happens is that we just, you know, really, we have this extra zeal about ourselves, an extra energy. Brother, haram, and this is haram, and this is shirk, and brother, this is wrong, and sister, you know, this. Suddenly a sister, she was really outgoing, and then suddenly she starts wearing all the hijab, niqab, and everything, and that's it. Every other sister has become like the worst person in the world. We don't hate people. We dislike the sinful activity. We don't hate people, right? We don't hate non-Muslims. We dislike the kufr, the disbelief. And we pray for them. Allah give them hidayah and guidance. And that's the concern the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So therefore, when somebody is doing something bad, whether in your family, whether it's your brothers, sisters, your children, your relatives, whoever they may be or whoever they are, or generally any Muslims, when they are doing anything bad, don't treat them as though they are some twisted individuals. Don't treat them as though they are really bad and that's it, and they don't deserve to be even spoken to or anything like that. And don't start searching and going into knowing more about them, and yeah, he's such a bad person, look at him, he's doing this haram and that haram. That's not our job. We don't work for the FBI, as I said. We're not part of some detective group or agency. That's Allah to deal with, and Allah knows. We don't need to find out the ills of people. Seriously, it's not our duty, responsibility, brothers and sisters, to go and search and look for people's faults. We need to turn a blind eye. The first injunction was, لَا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. We should give benefit of the doubt. And then the second injunction is, don't go and investigate. We need to look at our own uyub. In all of us, you know, we have bad habits. So why don't we, you know, think about our own selves? We should think about our own selves, really. So this causes this tajassus, which is trying to find out the ills and the evils of people, causes major problems within the family. Many examples of that. As I said, a lot of things which are not known, it's better for us. If they're not known, they're more better for us. So the ninth cause of family disputes is tajassus, investigating, trying to find out the ills and evils of other people. Solution, do avoid. Avoid snooping around. Avoid investigation. Avoid researching and going into the depth of other people's faults and ills. Avoid it. Really, for the sake of Allah, avoid it. What we need to do, we need to be concerned about our own selves. How can we find time to go and look into other people's bad faults when we are guilty ourselves of so many other bad activities? Every single one of us. Nobody can say that I don't have problems or I don't have bad habits in my life. Every single one of us. And I am not saying that. It's in the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاؤُونَ. كُلُّ, the word he used was كُلُّ. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاؤُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. The whole of humanity, كُلُّ, the word كُلُّ, ask anyone who knows Arabic, كُلُّ, all of humanity, all, every one of us is sinful. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after that, the best amongst us is the one who repents and asks for sincere repentance. So we all have faults. It's a major disease that some of us have, really, that we go and try to find out details of other people's activities, whether they're guilty or not. It's not our duty, whoever the person may be. What are we going to do, find out who someone, how guilty he is or not? So it doesn't concern us. We will not be asked on the Day of Judgment. Shaykh, one of the subcontinent shuyukh, I think it was Mufti Shafi' rahimahullah, was once asked about someone, a person who had passed away. What do you think about this person? Was he a sinful, fasiq person or not? Yazid. Yeah, he asked him about Yazid. Now, Yazid was the son of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Yazid is a contentious individual, controversial individual. You know, there's a lot written about him, and I don't want to go into details about him because there's no time. But anyway, somebody asked Mufti Shafi' rahimahullah, was Yazid a fasiq, a sinful person or not? Now the ulama say that, look, it's not something we should discuss, especially for the people who've passed away. So you know what he said? He said, I don't have time to investigate whether he was sinful or not. You know what? I'm more concerned about whether I am fasiq or not, whether I'm sinful or not. Really, especially for the people who've passed away. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. Those were the people who've passed away. These scholars and predecessors, they've gone. They've passed away. They've left. Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is gone. Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi has passed away. These great scholars, controversial or contentious or whatever, they've gone. تلك أمة, they were a people, قد خلت, they've gone. You will not be questioned. لَا تُسْأَلُونَ. They have what they've done. They will get what they did. And you will get what you did. Be concerned about your own self. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Oh, you who believe. Be concerned about your own self. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Be concerned about your own self. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Those people who've deviated, they will not... It's not going to harm you. So, really, we need to bring this in our lives. Not get too much deep into the affairs of other people and investigating other people's activities. Really. If we do that, insha'Allah ta'ala, thumma insha'Allah, we will avoid a lot of family disputes. So yeah, we come to the end of today's discussion. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.